Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight we're riding with our friend Shirley, who is sure to make your jaw drop and skin crawl. Trust me. And if you haven't listened to part one of this series, please make sure that you do, because it is so incredible. This is really the stuff that you talk about around a campfire, I am telling you. So make sure you check out part one if you haven't already. Before we get into the goodness, don't forget to hang with me on Twitter at Media Matters and on Instagram at The Media Matters, where we can connect all the live long day. And if that's not enough, come hang with me on YouTube on my So Chantel channel. That is all things behind the scenes. And you guys, I do mean all. You can also find the channel on Instagram at So Chantel and hang with me even more, because I am mildly obsessed with you guys and I really just want you to be mildly obsessed with me. It is time to put your dolls away and pray they don't find their way out of the glass case covered in crosses. If you heard part one, I know you're not confused. I am going to preface this part again by saying part two is also in its raw form, which is very, very, very lightly edited, like so light, it's like not even edited. There were some unfamiliar sounds during the initial playback, and when I tried to edit, the sounds went away. So I just left it the way it is for the most part, and I just want to make sure that you guys can hear what I heard. And if you can hear the stuff in the background, make sure you post it, like tag me in it, or send me a DM or whatever, because I want to know what you guys think you hear. So here we go.
Most of the time, she'll give it back on her terms. Sometimes, and she's gonna get, and again, sometimes we don't know whether it's Delilah or if it's Terry returning it. Sometimes, if it's put exactly back in the same spot, it's probably Terry being sweet and returning your stuff.
That's a good point.
You know, if you find it at an odd place that you know very well, you did not put it in the kitchen sink because that's not where shoes go, it was probably Delilah, you know.
Wow.
You know, and sometimes she just did stuff to just annoy you. Like, she knew my mom was very much afraid of being alone. And thunderstorms, I mean, oh, good Lord, don't even get me started. Anytime it was storms, my mom was convinced it was going to be a tornado. And she would make us all go in the bathtub. And just, she would try everything to put something over the bathtub so we wouldn't, so if the ceiling came down.
Oh my goodness.
Mom, we're not putting a mattress over the bathtub. We're not going to lock ourselves in the bathroom. It's okay.
Oh, wow. I can't even imagine what that level of terror is. I mean, that's got to be so scary to think that it's going to be that bad every time there's a storm.
Thank heaven she's gotten better. But growing up, I definitely had to be the one to kind of talk her down.
It sounds like it. Oh, my gosh.
It's okay. There's a window in the bathroom. We don't want to be near a window. So we'll sit in the hallway and we'll read a book. You know, we'll tell stories. We'll play a game. And most of the time that calmed her down. But if Delilah wanted to have fun, and Lord knows she loved it, she would blast the radios or, you know, knock on the walls. Or,
you
know. Wow. I was like, it's just Delilah being mean. It's okay. So the really good thing is, well, I don't know. Again, I've always had a really strong connection with, you know, loved ones who have passed over. So me and my grandmother were extremely close. And even, I think from her side, the family is where really our gifts come from. So, okay, this is really going to sound odd. So I spent a lot of time at my grandma's. We were super, super, super close. And she would have these blackout spells where she would just go sit and stare outside at the front door. And we, you know, so I'd stay the night to make sure that when she was having these spells that she didn't go walking around the neighborhood or, you know, light a cigarette and go to sleep or something. So one night I wake up and Grandma's standing at the front door and she's talking to this old man. And she's like, come on in for some coffee. like, okay, so she's not having a blackout spell because she knows where she's at and what she's doing. So I go in there and make us a pot of coffee, and we sit there and talk to him. And this is like 2, 3 in the morning, and I don't think nothing of it because, well, I don't know. I'm with Grandma. Nothing bad can happen when you're with Grandma. Well, this guy comes back like 2 or 3, for about 2 or 3 days. And he said, one day, I'll remember who I am, and so will y'all.
And what? He
and I was like, what is, so when he, and he always just walked through the door. I mean, just gone. You know, we would see him walk out, see him walk down the street, and then he'd just be gone. And I was like, what did he mean by that? And Grandma goes, I don't know. She said, but I have a feeling we'll find out tomorrow. Well, the next morning in the newspaper is a picture of this old man that Grandma and I had just had coffee with for the past 2 or 3 days had died.
Oh,
and he
wow.
was so afraid that no one would remember him that I guess he wanted to make sure that someone knew him.
Aww.
And someone would remember him. And, you know, we cut out that article and put his picture inside this picture frame and kept it on the bookshelf. And we just, you know, would walk by and say hi, you know. And if we got up early and had coffee, we would set his picture there and have coffee with him. But
oh,
we never,
wow.
ever told our family that story. And I was like, we can't. Senile, and they'll think I'm crazy, and they won't let me come stay with my senile grandmother.
Oh yeah, they'll be like, "Nope, party over."
So we just never told anyone that, you know.
That is incredible, Shirley. Oh my gosh.
So we've always had stuff like that, you know, happen to me. So it's never been, you know, normal. And Grandma said it happened to her a lot too. So she, her mother Rosie died, or should I say was killed by a hit and run driver. But I can tell you exactly who Rosie is. I never met her. Grandma lost her when she was 14. But for some reason, I know exactly who she is. And we've always just, you know, I always believe that son bonds are never broken. They're not, you know. And whether you believe in reincarnation or not, I do believe that some souls move on and some bonds proceed from life to life.
Absolutely.
You know. So I just think me and my grandmother have always been connected and we'll always be connected. And, you know, we'll just, whether we'll have these fantastic abilities, which I hope we do, you know, doesn't matter because the bond will always be there and it will always be recognizable, you know?
That's true. And that's such a beautiful blessing. And I'm with you. I believe along the same lines and I'm really happy about it. I'm grateful for it because I just feel like, you know, like the way you feel about your grandmother and that special relationship, that special bond, like it's going to be there no matter what. And you'll always find your way back to each other, which is so beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
incredible. So do your kids also have the same abilities or anything similar?
My boys will deny it till the cows come home. So Sierra, bless her heart. I don't think she doesn't want to, but I think she does. She's asking, do you think you have some of the same abilities, Sierra?
I mean, I didn't think they would bother me because I didn't think I really was that sensitive to it. But after visiting your house.
She blames it on visiting my house. It made her more sensitive. She said she doesn't think she was that sensitive to it. Until...
I didn't think Delilah or any of them would bother me. I didn't
yeah.
take it seriously because I thought I was immune.
She said she never took it seriously because she thought she was immune to it.
That's incredible.
And,
but
and
they,
now...
had other plans. They had other plans.
You can feel her.
Yeah.
She used to bother me in the bathroom. Now she's in that doll room. And you can feel this other presence in the whole hallway.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure if you can hear her or not.
Oh, yeah, I can hear her. That's okay, and I believe it. Yeah, I understand that. I understand. They make their presence known.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. I mean, and I think you have to have, I think you have to be open to it. And men typically, not all men, but most men typically just aren't that open to the unknown because it's too scary. It's not something tangible that they can explain, touch, see, smell. Because my husband was like, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I feel nothing. I'm thinking, really? Is that why your pillow went from under out from under your head when you were sleeping? Is that why your shoes were under the way under the bed? But, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Not okay, so, Delilah.
Yeah. So she did her little trick, but he put it off to, oh, I probably kicked him when I got out of bed. Mm-hmm. And so there's some kind of rational answer to everything. Like, he fully does not believe in the supernatural or reincarnation. He's very much close-minded to a lot of that. I'm like, oh, honey, you married the wrong girl then.
Good luck.
I'm like, you have lived with me too long to know that there's something more out there. Because, like, when his mother was dying, I kept trying to tell him. I was like, she's asking for her baby. I was like, you're not going to believe me. And I said, but a lot of times at the end of people's life, they know. They have this intuition, and they want what they want. That's when they start getting rid of their stuff. That's when they start, you know, sharing, you know, memories that they want to make sure pass down. That's when they start gathering the ones they love around them. And I said, not everybody. You know, some people, you know, get rid of their stuff, but they don't want anyone around when they die. They want to be alone. It's a very personal thing. Right. I was like, but your mom wants her babies. She was incredible. She had 12 children, and one of them a set of twins, and she was just, family was everything to her. So she called me, and she had been in and out of the hospital off and on, but I could tell, like, there was just something there. And I said, Mom, what do you want? And she said, I want my baby home. And I said, okay, he will be there. And, of course, you know, the rest of the family's going, oh, Mom's just fine. She's okay. You don't need to be here. And I was like, no, you need to go. Well, then, as crazy as it sounds, sorry, that night I had a dream. And it didn't feel like a dream. I mean, I don't know what it was. So my father-in-law had passed away many years before all this. And him and I were also very close. And he had already lost two sisters. Because, again, it comes from a family of 12. But Buck, my father-in-law, had taken me to this field. And it was gorgeous. I mean, it was just so pretty and peaceful. And there sat his sister Carla and his sister Julie, and there sat another man who I had never met, but he introduced him as Daniel. And Buck's mom was there, and everybody is sitting around my mother-in-law, and she's sitting in like this recliner, and her eyes were closed, and he said, she's not here with us yet, but he needs to come and be with her. She doesn't want to come here yet without her baby's home. And I said, okay, Buck, I will make sure it happens. And I said, I don't know how we're going to do this because I don't know if he has any vacation time. And I was like, if I have to go and beg and borrow the money to get him there, that's what I'll do. He said, baby girl, I got you. It will all be taken care of. Just, He needs to come see his mama. We're ready to bring her home, but we can't do it without him being with her. And I said, okay, that's what I'll do, Buck. And so the next morning I woke up and I said, so I am, well, at that time I was going through massage therapy school. And I said, so what I'm going to do today, Jimmy, I said, I'm going to go to class. And I said, but after class, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to buy the stuff you need, buy you some new clothes, buy you something to wear to your mom's funeral. And I said, and you're leaving. You're going to go see your mom. She needs you there. This is not an option. And he said, I don't have any vacation time. I said, then you call and you tell them you are going. If this means losing your job, then it's not a job worth having. Your mom comes first. I was like, but call them. But swears it's going to be okay. And I'm going to trust him. That's just a dream. And I was like, call. So sure enough, he called. And guess what? He has 2 weeks of vacation time that they didn't notice on their file.
No kidding.
That morning, our income tax refund also happened to be deposited into the bank. So not only did he have the time, but we suddenly had the money to where there was going to be absolutely no pressure for him to go.
Way to go, Buck. Get it done.
Exactly. And he was there for, I want to say he was only there for like 3 or 4 days before she passed.
Oh,
but
again, no.
She waited for her babies.
Wow.
You know? And I was like, this is why you listen to your wife.
Let that be a lesson, fellas. That's incredible. That's a beautiful story. I mean, you know, I don't like that she passed, but I do like that she had a whole team of people waiting for her and that they went to some extreme lengths to make sure that her wishes came true. That is so incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I still believe that some bonds are never, ever broken. I loved my mother-in-law and adored my mother-in-law, but my father-in-law was the one that I was really the closest to. So even today, you know, I still feel him sometimes around me, and, you know we're good. I mean, I'm lucky. My poor daughter probably hates it because she's like, Mom, what was it, Sierra, at Christmas? She said, can you tell all your ghost friends not to snitch on your surprise when I got you for Christmas? Because they will tell me. They will be like, oh, yep, they got you something Harry Potter, or, oh, yeah, you're really going to like this one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You have your own little crew that spies for you.
Or, you know, they'll be like, yeah, you need to get on YouTube and really watch this. And I'm like, you're dead. But okay. You don't make the dead mad.
No. And I do, you know, I do think to myself, I feel like you have better things to do than hang out with me. Like, there's a great afterlife that you could be busying yourself with instead of hanging out over here telling me what I need to be doing.
Well, okay. So this again, I know I'm probably one of the strangest people you talk to. So sorry.
No, not at all.
I have a friend of mine named Susan. And when Susan had a lot of health problems, like she was diabetic. She had, you name it, bless her heart, she had it. So Susan had been in and out of the hospital. We almost lost her a couple of times. And it was basically machines keeping her alive. And Susan was like, no more. I'm done. So she called a lot of us up and she said, I'm going to go ahead and stop dialysis. And I'm going to stop, you know, giving myself insulin. She said, it's really time for me to move on. And I'm just calling you because I love you and I want to say goodbye. And, you know, so we all had our own individual goodbye with Susan. Well, Susan had a little boy when she was 8 months pregnant that died in the womb.
Oh,
and she
no.
called him her little cherub. So Susan and I talked about her going, you know, being with cherub. And she was sad to leave this earth, but we knew we would see each other again. So it was bittersweet. So when Susan died, I want to say it was about 2 weeks later, again, they love to come to you in a dream, because I think that's when we're more open and
right.
more perceptive.
I agree.
So Susan was talking, and I said, so have you gotten to see Cherub? And she said, yes. And I said, so what's heaven like? Because we're all curious. And she said, I was telling her, yeah, I really missed her. And she said, well, we're actually already together. So the way Susan explained it is a fun house of mirrors. And look, I'm kind of weird about mirrors, so don't get me wrong, because I don't want to go in a fun house of mirrors. Mirrors have their own no-no to it.
Yes, they do.
But she said, these are safe mirrors. And she said, in one mirror is our past, where we share our memories together. She said, then we have our present mirror, which is you there alone. She said, but I'm here watching you and being with you. She said, but in the other side of the mirror, we're already together up here. And she said, we're always going to be together. She said, so I'm in your past, present, and future. She said, and that's the way it is with Cherub. She said, he has moved on to another family. She said, but another part of us has been able to share a whole lifespan together, too. So I always think of it like the mirrors of heaven, you know. So anytime I really miss someone, I'm like, okay, I'm missing you here, and I know presently I can talk to you and say hi, and I love you, and I know somewhere in the future we're, you know, together already. You know, we're...
That's incredible.
You know, so grief is hard. Don't get me wrong. Dealing with my dad's death has been really emotional because of just the complexity of death. Because he wasn't, like I said, an easy man to live with, but I loved him. And thank God we had some really good chats before he died. So I know we're already together in heaven drinking coffee.
That's amazing.
You know, so I try to remind myself every time I miss him that he's here. He's, you know, everyone I love is here. They're still with me. Just because I can't, you know, touch them, technically, I can still, you know, you can still feel them, just not in a physical way.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. It really is like for lack of a better term, like just this really thin veil, and you're like, yes. Oh, you're right on that side and I'm right on this side, and you're still very present to me, just in a different way. And I selfishly want them here the way I knew them, you know, and I know that is selfish on my part, but I do. I'm like, I love all of them and I want them to be here with me so that I can keep enjoying them. But it just doesn't work that way. So I totally understand. And I'm so sorry that you lost your dad, and your mom is dealing with that too. And you're coming up on that anniversary, and all of those are really tough. The first birthday, the first everything, and not just theirs, but yours as well. And, you know, it's always just a constant reminder. And it's never enough time. Never.
No. You know, I mean, technically, I mean, the man was 72, and the fact that he lived to be 72 is amazing, because he lived life exactly the way he wanted it. We were, he was something else. I mean, years ago, my best friend loved to tell the story. We had a big hurricane come through. Hurricane Ike was coming through Houston and the Galveston area. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Mom takes off. And I was like, Dad, you know, why don't you go with Mom? And he's like, nope, I'm going to stay right here. And I was like, oh, my God. So I am all paranoid because Dad is being stubborn. And he had this huge garage that he built. I mean, fortress, thank God. And he's like, I have a couple of cases of beer. I have a couple of bottles of whiskey. I'm good. So me and my best friend are on the phone with him because I figure if something happens to Dad, I can hang up and call 911 for him, right? So at least I could be a landline. And he's sitting there describing with the doors wide open, mind you, with a beer in hand, telling us all the stuff that's floating by, describing this hurricane to us. We're able to hear the wind and the rain. And I was like, Dad, just at least go in the house. He's like, nope, beer and whiskey are right here in the garage. I have my girls on the phone, and I have everything I need right here. We're good.
He's going to tough it out.
And he did.
Wow. He was really committed.
So, yeah, the fact that he lived to be 72 is pretty amazing. I mean, I miss him, but again, because of my own beliefs, the anniversary is hard, but I think it's more, I feel more sad for my mom than I do for myself.
Right.
Because she grew up with this man. I mean, they were best friends growing up next door to each other. So she's known him, you know, her entire life. And she's been in love with him for her entire life. I mean, so it's hard on me, but she's lost, you know, basically a piece of herself.
Yeah, I can see that. And,
you know, and so for her, my heart breaks more for her than it does for me, because I know we're good. And because of our incredible bond, we've had a lot of talks about death. And so I was 100% prepared, because the man was crazy. For a solid year and a half before he died, he never called me Shirley. He called me sister for some reason. I guess, I don't know, it's a stupid Texas thing. But he'd say, sister, this is going to be my last birthday. And I was like, oh, my God, Dad. So every time I hung up with him, he's like, I love you. That might be the last time I say it.
You're like, please.
I was like, good Lord. I was like, Dad, it's just time for you to go. You just need to stop. So, again, he knew. He's never told anyone else that. And I hate it for them, because they weren't able to get prepared. I mean, yeah, we joked about it, but I could also feel it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I hate it for them, because I don't think anyone else in the family was quite prepared, because he didn't want to show that vulnerable side to them, you know? So,
yeah, I can understand that. I definitely can.
I mean, he had everything paid for and done and paperwork ready. I mean, it was just all together, and, you know, it was just, he was ready. You know, he made sure I knew.
Yeah. And it really does, you know, it's like, it's tough to hear those things and hear somebody talk about that when you love them so much. But when all is said and done, I have to say that it's such a gift that they prepare so much, and they're like, listen, you don't have to think about anything. I left this here. Here's the money for this. It's going to cost this much. It's a huge gift. One of my great friends went through that not too long ago, and she lost her mom. And a few days after that, her dad passed away, and we were all just grieving for her and crying. And for her, she said, you know, it was a huge blessing. He did not want to be here without her, and he wasn't. It was very fast. It was not expected. But she said, you know, they had the funeral planned for her mom, and her mom's funeral was going to be on Saturday. Her dad passed away on Friday. So she said, no, he said he was not going to that funeral, and he meant it.
Yep,
so
he was
like, yeah, he said, this is a surefire way to get out of it. So, you know, she said they had to quick replan everything and do a joint funeral, you know, a service for both of them together,
yeah,
which they would have loved. So they were looking, you know, she found the suit that he was going to be buried in, and she is looking through the pocket and found the exact amount of money that they needed to complete the cost of the services. which was so great. She's like, yeah, she's like, how is that possible? I'm like, girl, they did it for you. Like, he yep. set it up. He knew, like, he just knew, you know, just like you said, with your father-in-law coming through to help and to make sure that your husband got there to see his mom in time, you know, same thing. Like, they will find a way when, you know, within their abilities, of course. And it's just, it's so magical. And it's, that is all yeah. stuff from love. And, you know, it's, I don't know. To me, I'm like, how could you not believe? But for other people, they're like, it's just like a
little bit. But no, you know, death is so final for most people. And I think if you don't believe in something beyond death, like my very best friend, my sister, pretty much, well, I've always called her my sister, and she's in every family will and picture there is. When Dad died, we were talking about it. And I said, girl, I said, you know, you're never, I said, because I've always teased her. I was like, I want to be a tree when I die. And you're going to have to be a tree with me. So, and she's like, okay, sis, I will put it in the will. And you are to get some of my ashes. She's like, but you know that when we die, we just die. We're just done. I was like, nope. We have always been together. And we will always be together. And you ain't leaving me.
And then tell me that when we're both on the other side together. Go ahead and tell me how it doesn't keep going. Oh, yeah.
You are not escaping me. I was like, the next time I get to be the pretty one.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to reverse roles in this next life, okay?
That's nice. That's a nice friendship to have and to make those plans in the afterlife. And I have to say, though, I don't know if you feel this way, but even though I have experienced everything I've experienced and I know everything that I know or that I think I know, it still is really, it's still a struggle for me. And, you know, partly, like I said, because I'm selfish and I want them here. But, you know, we just had my uncle's funeral a few days ago. And it's the first time that I ever attended a funeral where I saw like the casket be lowered. And so it just, it messed me up a little bit. And so I keep thinking about like him being in the ground and in this box, and it's still messing with my mind a little bit. Even though he has visited, I still have, you know, like they're just, it's just a difficult thing to reconcile, because there is the spiritual side of us and then there's the physical side, where those two just don't always mix very easily. And so even I still have a hard time sometimes. And, you know, I know better. I know what I know. And, you know, just like you, we've had all these different experiences, so we can speak to these things from our own knowledge base, where we're like, no, I actually live this. But it still sometimes is really challenging to merge the two.
Burial is harder. I don't know if it's just me being claustrophobic or but thinking of them in the ground and being in a box and not being able to protect them, and I don't know, cremation, I never thought I would ever feel this way, but cremation just doesn't feel as final or as claustrophobic. I feel like
I understand.
You know?
Yeah, no, I get it. Surely, I feel like it's freedom. I'm like, my ashes can float. I'm free. But
exactly. But they're there is, in a box.
Yeah.
Who's going to remember you? I know how this sounds. Who's going to remember that name in 100 years? You know, I mean, I feel like if you're in a box, eventually that box is going to decay and your body's, but you know, you can't be free. You can't. You're stuck. You're trapped. And that'll,
it's true.
And those are the deaths that are harder for me to deal with. Even though I know they're fine, I know spiritually they're okay. But the idea of the people I love the most in a box, no.
Yes. And you know,
Dad gave me that option. He asked me, he said, do you want to bury me or do you want me to be cremated? And I said, you are never leaving me. And he said, okay, cremation it is.
Yeah, cremation it is. And that's how I feel. Hey, if I haven't said it before, you guys heard it here first. I want to be cremated. My significant other knows this. My mom knows this. My besties know this. But the other thing with having a burial, like an actual grave, is that I feel like I never want anyone to feel like they are tied to a location, because rotting corpse is like 6 feet under in a box. Like, I never, ever want anyone to feel tied to a place because of that. And I know that if, you know, any of my loved ones were in the ground in a specific place, like, I wouldn't want to leave. I'd be like, no, I can't, you know. And my uncle, it's different with him because he is hundreds of miles away, and it's just a reality. I don't live there, so I can't, you know, visit as often as I'd like. And, you know, and that's another thing. Yeah. I thought about that too when we were there. I'm like, man, how many times will I get to come visit this gravesite? And knowing that he's not there, you know, it's just a body, but it's still, you know, it just goes back to trying to reconcile those things. Cause I'm like, I have a little bit of a hard time sometimes merging them, and it's normal, it's natural. So it doesn't make anyone any more or less intuitive in any way. It's just the human brain.
Exactly. It's finding your comfort zone. I mean, like when my, with one of my best friends, unfortunately, I've had a lot of deaths.
I'm sorry. That sucks.
I've had to. Well, I mean, again, I am blessed to be loved and to have loved a lot of people, you know? So if I kept my circle really, really small and tight knit, then I wouldn't know the people that have passed on, you know?
That's true.
I feel blessed, you know? I would rather to have known them and to have lost for now. Because, again, it's just for now. Just one little pebble in the sand, you know?
Right.
But when my friend Bob died and he was cremated, and they put him in, of course, this big old box, and my best friend was actually married to his son. I made sure our family stayed connected.
You're like, I've got it from here.
But they put him in this big old box and put him up in what they call the man cave. And they're talking about it one day, and she's like, we really need to just put Bob in an urn. And I was like, girl, Bob could care less. I was like, he's at home with y'all. And they went and bought a plot. And I was like, no. I was like, I will fight you tooth and nail. I love you. But Bob is not going in that ground.
Mm-mm.
You may sprinkle him on the ground, but you're not putting him inside of a hole. Mm-hmm. I loved him first. Oh, and his best friend said no. You know, but having that, because when my grandmother died in 85, that was really the hard part about her death. It wasn't, having her gone was hard because I was only 15, and she's the first, well, unfortunately, she wasn't the first death I had experienced, but she was, again, part of my, you know, bonding. She was bonded to me. But having her put into that casket and then having that casket lowered into the ground was much harder than her being gone, because I never felt her gone. She was still spiritually with me all the time. But having her in that ground, I was like, she's going to be cold. It's going to rain. It's going to flood. And who's going to know who Anne Brantley is, you know? I mean, who's going to care what that name means? No one's going to love her as much as we love her. And, you know, I don't know. It made me really claustrophobic, you know?
I get it. Yeah, I totally get it.
So I understand. That's the hard part about death is I think, but unfortunately we have to respect what people want, you know, for, because if your uncle is part of that older generation, to them, cremation is so new. It's, they want that viewing. They want the tears of the casket. They want people throwing those petals in.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I never thought of that. Yeah, because I mean, before we went, I asked my mom if she knew what was going to be happening, and she said, "Oh yeah, no, he's getting buried. He doesn't believe in cremation." I was like, "What?
Yeah.
Who doesn't believe in cremation?" Like, I know some people, you know, there's a preference for some people, but there are people that don't believe in it, like you said, and it maybe is newer than I thought it was. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, there is something about that ceremony and having that ritual done where people come in and view and visit with your body and, you know, leave gifts and trinkets in your casket. And I mean, I don't know. It was my first time really experiencing it to that level, because I've been to other funerals for, you know, in support of someone else or for, you know, loved ones, and it was very different. So that was quite a shock to the system.
It's all different according to what their own. Because last year we lost, you know, well, my dad first, but Dad and I had, like I said, we had already been talking about it. So in December of that year, I had lost a friend to cancer. And so when Gina died in the hospital, me and Sierra and her fiance stayed with her in the room, you know, and she knew she was dying. She had fought cancer for 12 years. And again, their intuition just knows. So Gina was really adamant. Please make sure everybody knows I love them. Please, you know, tell everybody this. Tell them that. Make sure, you know, her fiance, Carrie, make sure Carrie's on all the paperwork. I want Carrie to have my body. This is what I want done. So, to make sure Carrie had that, because no one should have to be alone. No one should die alone, first off. At least that's why, for me, if I hate the idea of someone being alone. It just bothers me. No one should have to pass on their own. And Gina was not alone, trust me. We had good gobs of people there. But when she did die, you know, during her final stages, me, Sierra, and Carrie stayed with her around the clock. And so I had, you know, posted on Facebook, you know, please come say your goodbyes. This is what Gina wants. These are her final wishes. You know, and I made sure her makeup was done and she had a perfume on, her hair looked good. So people that came to see her, she would be okay with it. And so Dad and I were talking about this, and he was really asking some really probing questions, you know, like, did she feel anything? You know, how was it toward the end? Did she look peaceful? What happened to her body, you know, after she died. And then we had bought the urn for her. So I was sending him pictures of the urn. And he's like, yeah, hey, sister, this is what I picked out. So he's like describing to me what he got. And he's like, I bought you necklaces. So remember, I can always be with you, right?
Wow.
I was like, sure, Dad. I'll take you to work with me. It'll be okay.
I know. Just me and my dad.
We're all good.
Oh, just my gosh.
But, you know, I think that he didn't want a viewing. He wanted no viewing, no funeral. Absolutely did not like the idea of being in the ground. And that was kind of something I never even told Mom that he kind of struggled with. He said, I'm sure she wants me buried with her. And I said, well, Dad, remember, we're all going to be trees. And he's like, oh, okay, so I could be a tree with you and your mom. And I was like, sure. And he's like, okay. So he said, I really don't want a viewing. I don't want any type of gathering like that. I don't want people crying. He said, telling you, there are secrets I hope my family doesn't listen to this podcast. Because I get my brutal from him and my aunt. But he said, sister, why would I want those people crying over me when they couldn't even show up to come visit me now when I'm sick?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
yep. I was like, I get it. I said, I will do what you want. He said, you know they won't be happy. I said, well, not their death, is it?
Yep, that's true. When it's your time, you can call the shot.
You know, I mean, so yeah, I mean, it happened the way that he wanted it to happen. It, again, I know how that sounds, but it's not our death. It's theirs. And whether we agree with it or disagree with it, we have to honor it.
That's true.
And we have to find our own way of making peace with their decision.
He didn't compromise, though, with grandma.
Because
he went to the hospital.
Yeah.
And he let them resuscitate.
Yes. My daughter brought up a good point. She said he did, and he did in a way compromise with it, because he, if he'd had his own way, he did not want a DNR. And
right.
He actually died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and they resuscitated him and brought him back.
Mm.
And then he technically died on the first, on February the 18th, and then, bless his heart, he lingered in the hospital until March the 7th.
Oh, wow.
And I think a lot of that was done out of love and respect for my mom.
Right.
So she would have her closure.
Yeah.
Of course, if he tried to change his mind to take her with him, but, you
know. That is incredible. And that, it's a...
planned on that one.
Yeah, it's a gift, though. It's nice that he was willing to do that and give that time. And, you know, we had a similar experience. And in the end, I was able to see it as a blessing, too, and say, well, you know, thank you for giving us some time to allow us to come to terms with what needs to happen and to say our goodbyes. And so it's nice. And they do know, whether it's, you know, conscious or self-conscious or the subconscious, something in there knows that it's coming and it's time to make arrangements and say goodbyes. And, you know, I think that's not for every person, but I do think for a lot of people, you start to reflect, the people that are left start to reflect and say, yeah, you know, they seemed more at peace and they were giving things away, or they, you know, whatever it is. But I think on some level, some people face it head on and say, yeah, it's time for me to go home.
Yep. Well, you know, even after we got back from the hospital, after he died, I mean, we walked into the house and there was such an overwhelming sense of peace and love. I mean, it was just, it's ironic because when Sophie was on your podcast talking about, you know, how she did the light bomb in the room for her mom, it was like walking into that. I mean, you walked in this house and it was just nothing but love and peace and comfort. And his dog, and again, he really liked it, but he really loved his dog. And she was just, she wasn't worried anymore. You know, the last time she saw her dad, he was being taken in an ambulance and he didn't come back, and her whole existence changed. And she was really nervous, and so, yeah, she had been, you know, depressed and wasn't really eating, and I said, oh, look, and my daughter's like, Papa came back to say bye to Penny.
Aww.
And she ate real good. I mean, totally different dog. This dog was not depressed. Running around, was, you know, bringing us her toys, and
that's incredible.
I mean, and I was like, he's here, Mom. I was like, he's gonna be here for a while to make sure you're okay.
That's incredible.
I was like, I don't think you have to worry about Delilah for a while now.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's amazing.
Yes, got this.
Wow. Well, Shirley, it has been so fantastic listening to your stories. And I always find so much comfort in talking to people that can definitely relate to my own experiences. And it's just nice to have, you know, to have that, find that in somebody else. And
agree,
you know, to please. Yeah, and to share the views on death. And I mean, it just, it definitely brings comfort to my soul, because it's never an easy thing to go through. And I'm so sorry that you and your family are dealing with that as well and coming up on that important anniversary. But I know that he is with you guys, and he makes his presence known for sure.
Oh, yeah. All
as our loved ones do. But I'm so grateful for this time that we got to spend together. And I just, like,
the whole thing. We were talking about haunted houses, and then we got on death. And
I know. It's been a roller coaster of emotions. But I'm so grateful, and I'm just so happy that we got to do this, because I enjoyed reading your message so much, and it creeped me out reading it. I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to hear more. So I'm really, really happy that we finally got to do this. And anytime you want to come hang with me on the show, you let me know and we'll work it out, and we'll have some more fun.
Friends, that's a wrap on part two of All Things Scary with our fabulous friend, Shirley. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you so, so much again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love you so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter at Media Matters and on Instagram at The Media Matters for even more love straight from me. Like, straight from me, straight to you. My face to your face, my heart to your heart. And for a mega dose of all things behind the scenes, check out the show's sister content on YouTube on the So Chantel channel. It is seriously as behind the scenes as it gets. And while you're there, subscribe, click the notification bell so you get notified every time a new video goes live. And, you know, go ahead and click that thumbs up, because the videos are that great. I'm telling you, you're going to be entertained. With that, you guys, we are donezo for the night, but we're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.